Now, don't throw up your hands in despair when our next article starts with the words centuries ago. It's not really what you think. It's actually all about that wonderful group of plants, the herbs. And Charlotte Philcox tells us that there's much more to this group than just parsley and thyme. So prepare to be educated. Here's Tony.
Centuries ago, the term herbs or green herbs referred to virtually all the plants which were grown in peasant gardens. I'm not using the P word to insult anyone, but as in the French paysan, which simply means someone who lives and works in the countryside, which up until quite recently included some 90% of the population. Before the age of exploration, when prospectors such as Raleigh, Drake and Columbus set off to discover new worlds, often returning with plants previously unknown in Western Europe, the number of different types of plant grown in gardens by ordinary people was limited. Records show that there were probably around 200 or so, some of which had been brought into gardens from the wild, in order to have them closer to hand. The plants were almost all of some use, whether for medicine, flavouring, dyes or food, although some were grown for their flowers and used to make garlands and posies for celebrations. The gardens were functional, but must have looked attractive, with their jumble of flowers, vegetables and medicinal plants all growing together. From the late 15th century onwards, the tradition of combining flowers with more useful plants came to be despised. Only the ordinary working people gardened in this way, so if someone wanted to show their aspirations in society, it became essential to have separate areas for ornamental and purely functional plants. One writer of the time stated that if you grew tulips with vegetables, your flowers would suffer disgrace. Of course, the idea of separating everything out was also important to show off your collection of all the new plants, which, from the late 18th century, started flooding into the country. Plant breeders were also developing new hybrids and cultivars until gardeners had literally thousands of subjects to choose from. The useful herbs might still be grown, but were usually relegated to specific herb garden. This is the way in which many people continue to think of cultivating them in their gardens today. Rosemary, sage, thyme and lavender thrive in a Mediterranean climate. They don't like damp, saturated conditions. So if you want to grow them, you'll need to choose a hot, sunny part of the garden with freely drained soil. They will also do well in containers where compost should be soil-based with plenty of grit added to improve drainage. Thyme in particular, always seems to last longer when grown in a terracotta pot. You can be creative with your containers, and my mother had a collection of thymes which she grew in an old plastic dog basket, minus the dog, of course. The basket already had air holes in the bottom, which were perfect for drainage. With a layer of crocks in the base topped with good compost, the thymes are still thriving, and the basket now has a pride of place outside my kitchen door. Mint is the one herb which has to have its invasive roots restricted, or it will gallop all over the garden. It's best grown in a tough container sunk into a garden bed. The most useful variety for adding flavour to new potatoes or making mint sauce is traditional garden mint, Mentha sativa. For mint tea, grow Moroccan mint, that's Mentha spicata variata crispa Moroccan. If you have children visiting, it can be fun to devote a corner of the garden or small raised bed to some of the more unusual scented meats, mints. While these aren't much use for cooking, crushing the leaves of some varieties will release the scent of banana, orange, lime or ginger. Chocolate mint, Mentha cross piperata F. citrata chocolate, is the best and guaranteed to make everyone reach for the after eights. French or flat-leafed parsley, oregano, chives, garlic chives, buckler, leaved sorrel, fennel, garlic, calendula, coriander, Welsh onions, violets, savoury nasturtiums, salad burnet, borage. All these do best in ordinary garden soil. Basil is a must, but needs to be grown inside on a sunny windowsill or in a greenhouse. Learn to love the elder tree, Sambucus nigra, as all parts are used in herbal medicine, making it one of the most useful plants around. The berries, when made into a syrup, will soothe the most persistent cough, or you can cook them with onions, chilies, garlic, and spices to make a delicious chutney. For the scent of crushed leaves, I love curry plant Helichrysum italicum, or alecost, or rose costmary, Tanacetum balsamita, which was once used to give a spicy flavour to ale. I also wouldn't want to be without some of the lavenders. Lavandula angustifolia, Hidcot, is particularly good. And for giant plants, Lavandula cross intermedia, Hidcot giant, grows up to 1 metre in height.
Thank you, Tony. That's really made my mouth water.